So if you have your Bibles with you, and I sure hope you do, join me in turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19 and read through verse 27. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are Bibles supplied for you in the pew rack. But I don't know what page 1 Corinthians 9:19 is on. I didn't look that up for you. You have to do the work yourself. I hope this is a familiar passage to you since I preached from it last Sunday morning. I wanted to revisit it and I want to read it and then make some comments. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church Corinth, writes, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, we ask once again that your Spirit would take this word that he has inspired, that he has given to us, Lord, both through inspiration and preservation, that he would take it and reveal it not only to our minds, but to our hearts, and use it to encourage, to challenge, to convict, to do whatever is needed in our lives, that we may be, first and foremost, followers of Jesus. And also, Lord, that as followers of Jesus, we will seek to help others to become followers, lovers of Jesus as well. But Lord, we commit this time to you and pray that you would use it for your glory as well as for the building up of your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am continually, when I come to this passage, captured, as it were, by those words from the pen of the Apostle Paul, "for the sake of the gospel." I do it all. I think that's probably why Paul did everything that he did. I do it for the sake of the gospel. And I ask myself, what would I do for the sake of the gospel? What would I be willing to do for the sake of the gospel? And then I stop and say, what am I doing currently for the sake of the gospel? Last Sunday morning, I left out part of my sermon, the end, which was specific application about how we can live a life of making disciples. I said basically that I believe that if you love Jesus and want others to love him, you'll figure it out. You'll find a way to introduce people to Jesus. You'll find ways to get people to meet your best friend. If he is indeed your best friend, you'll figure it out. But as I thought about it a little bit more, I thought, well, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to have something to start with. Maybe some of the ideas that I share with you would help to provoke in you some more ideas about how you can be effective in helping non-believers, unbelievers, be introduced to Christ and help believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share some of the things that I didn't share last Sunday morning, with a few statements, qualifiers, if you were. First of all, although I'm a pastor, I am far from an expert in this area. Many of you probably have more experience and better ideas than I do. That's great. That's fantastic. I hope you do. I hope you have many, many good ideas that you will implement, put into practice. Secondly, this is not an exhaustive list of ideas. It's merely something to hopefully prime the pump. Get your creative juices flowing. Some of these things you may find that you've tried before and didn't like. They didn't work. Some of these things you may think, I'll never do that. That's all right. That's fine. But hopefully, if you don't do any of what the 10 or 11 things that I put down, if you don't do any of them, I hope that you will at least be motivated and perhaps even a little burdened about your role, your responsibility in living for the sake of the gospel. Living your life as a means to introduce other people to Christ, and along with that, to help those who know Christ grow, be built up in the faith. Because making disciples isn't only about conversion. It's about growth in grace as well. So I want to give you some ideas for both of those areas. So how do we live for the sake of the gospel? How do we live a life that's gospel-focused? How do we exercise self-control in all things so that we can be effective disciple-makers for the Lord Jesus? I want to give you six basic things under the heading of evangelism, if you will, or pre-evangelism, introducing people to Christ. And then we'll look at, or I'll give you five ideas for helping Christians, maybe younger Christians, to grow in the Lord. First of all, six things with conversion as a goal. First of all, begin practicing initiating conversations with people. Just even with strangers. Have you ever done that? Have you ever initiated a conversation with somebody that you didn't know? I mean, just that, I mean, some of you, I mean, that's how you live, all right? I mean, that's you. I mean, I just defined you, right? That's your personality. You can't not strike up a conversation with someone, even if it is a total stranger. But for some of us, that's not really natural. That's not our natural bent. But it's interesting some of the ways those conversations will go and opportunities that will open up, especially when you are in tune to listening and looking for opportunities to interject maybe an encouraging word or maybe a question, something that may lead to a spiritual discussion. When I say begin conversations, it's with the intent of having a spiritual conversation or perhaps, maybe not a conversation, but maybe someone will say something that will make you think about a book, a good book to give to them. Because I know it can be threatening with a total stranger to just launch into a discussion of the gospel sometimes. But if you have good books with you, books like Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ, or books like or his book The Case for Faith, or books like John Piper's Finally Alive, or other books like that will give people something to think about, introduce people to the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to get started getting out of our comfort zone and engaging people in conversation. And here's the thing, every conversation will not lead to a spiritual conversation. It won't. But the more you have, the more opportunities, the more conversations you initiate, the more opportunities you'll have to share with people. Secondly, and this goes along with that, it's a little bit further down the road, cultivate friendships. Cultivate more and more friendships with people, with neighbors, with coworkers, with people that your kids play, the parents of people your kids play ball with, or the grandparents or whatever. Cultivate friendships with people. Take it a step further than merely striking up conversations with people that you don't know and may never see again, but begin to cultivate relationships, friendships, starting where you are, as I said, with neighbors, with coworkers, or people that you see on a regular basis. I've had the opportunity to cultivate some friendships with people at Panera, because I'm there three times a week. That's where I sit. That's my second office. And that's where I study. And so I've had an opportunity to get to know people, get to know things about their family and things. And I've had an opportunity to pray with people and those kinds of things. So cultivate friendships, relationships. Find out about these people. Find out their birthdays. All right? You don't have to ask for the year. All right? Just the month and date is sufficient. Anniversaries, their children's or grandchildren's birthdays. You know, everybody, every parent loves to talk about their kids. Every grandparent, I mean, loves to talk about their grandkids, right? So use those natural opportunities to do that. Find out what their likes are, their interests, their dreams, especially after you get to know them a little bit, and then eventually maybe even their hurts, things that would open up an opportunity to discuss spiritual things. Send cards to people on special occasions. Of course, birthdays and anniversaries. Maybe as you get to know people and find out that there's a special date that is very painful for them, the loss of a loved one, you send a card encouraging them, letting them know you're praying for them. Send cards, you know, Christmas cards, Easter cards, all kinds of cards, and especially those holiday cards that everybody celebrates. They just don't always celebrate them the way they should be celebrated. Include a tract or something that points them to the real meaning of Christmas. Invite them to go with you to a ball game, to go fishing, to play golf, whatever you like to do. As you get to know them and you know what their interests are, maybe you would even take up a new hobby solely for the purpose of being with them, with the intent of hopefully sharing the gospel with them. You can invite them to a church event from September through May. Every other month, we have a men's breakfast on a Saturday morning. That's a great thing as you're cultivating a relationship to invite men to guys that you're developing a relationship with, because there is no heavy hammer, you know, of the gospel there. It's just men getting together. There will be a spiritual component. There'll be a devotional, but it's not going to be something where they're going to feel uncomfortable or be put in an awkward situation. It's a good opportunity. Ladies' events that would have an appeal beyond simply our church. I know that there are some things coming up. So even church events, you could invite them to. Certainly Christmas programs, when we have Christmas choir programs and things like that, would be opportunities. And eventually even a worship service. I read something. Now, I don't know, you know, you never know if people are being honest when they reply to polls and surveys. But surveys say that 70% of people, just in general, who don't attend church, would go to church with a friend if they were invited. How about that? 70%. So invite them to church. Invite them to worship. So cultivate friendships with people. And again, as you have opportunity to get to know them a little bit better, you may even have an opportunity to minister to them in a time of need. To serve them. So begin conversations, cultivate friendships. Number three, this goes right on the heels of the previous one. That is practice hospitality. Open your home. Some of you already are very good at that. Very good. It's whether it's second nature or you've worked at it, you're very good at that. Several years ago, I read a book where the author explained a a thing that he did with he and his wife. Every Friday night, they would have church friends and non-church friends into their home for dessert and a drink, you know, Diet Coke. They would play games. They would just have a good time. They developed relationships. They were practicing hospitality with the intention of developing a relationship. And they did it on a regular basis. Now, these folks had what he called the gift of party or hospitality. And some of you have that. And that's a great gift to use to open your home and develop relationships with people. One of the things that he shared is that a large percentage of those non-church members eventually became believers and members of the church as a result of that ministry. So, I just give that to you. Practice hospitality. Number four, get involved in community and service opportunities. If you have children at home who play ball, who are and otherwise engaged in community activity, it's a great thing to do. I have a good friend who all of his boys play ball, and he was very intentional about the fact that they played ball in large part so that he could get to know the parents of the other ball players, so he could develop relationships with them to speak to them of Christ. Get involved in community events. There are, you know, opportunities maybe to be on a school board or to be on some other community organization. Get involved in those things. You get to know more people. Not just to reach people for the gospel, to be a good neighbor, to serve your community, but then looking for opportunities as well to be a witness for Christ. Certainly there are service opportunities, service organizations like their organization, literacy organizations, so that you can learn to tutor. One of the best things that we can do, if you know how to read, one of the best things that you could do is get involved in a literacy, ministry. Not even, you know, a Christian ministry, but literacy opportunity to teach people to read. You know, if people can't read, they can't read the Word of God. But if you help them to read, sometimes you can even direct them to Christian books and other, and maybe even the Bible. But those kinds of opportunities. Disaster relief, that's a ministry of our state convention. Ministry of the North American Mission Board, which is organized through state conventions. Ken Meyer shared with me not too long ago, actually confirmed what I had heard from someone else, and that is that the numbers of those participating in disaster relief in the state of Ohio is shrinking because it's largely older people, men and women, and some of them have gone to be with the Lord. Others have simply cannot do it anymore, and for whatever reason, perhaps it's time commitments, other involvements. Younger people are not stepping up and getting involved, but it's a great opportunity. I love to hear the stories from those who are involved in disaster relief, like Paul Braun's share the stories of the number of people who come to faith in Christ as a result of those ministries. I've heard of churches that were denied the opportunity to buy property in a community, and then after disaster and disaster relief, Southern Baptist disaster relief workers moved in and served the community, they were given property to build a church. It's a great opportunity to open doors for the gospel. So get involved. Community service opportunities, and you know what those are. There are a lot that I haven't even touched on. One that I just barely mentioned last Sunday, and one that I had really not considered until just recently, and that is get involved in foster care or adoption. foster care, you have in your home people who need the gospel. You take them into your home. It's not easy. It's not for everyone, but it's an opportunity to serve and to minister the gospel of Christ to those who might not otherwise hear it. And adoption is another opportunity. Again, it's not for everyone, but it may be for some of you. Think about those that are adopted into Christian families who perhaps would not have ever heard the gospel, but they get that opportunity because of being in that Christian home. And then, the last one is, we've got a mission trip coming up next summer. Think about going to Turkey. Pray about going to Turkey on a mission trip. And if you can't do Turkey next year, think about when you will go and where you will go. I don't remember who I heard it from first, but it has been said that you're not really serious about the Great Commission if you do not have a current valid passport. Now, that's not original with me. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying that's a statement that has been made. It's something to consider. All right. Those are evangelism, some pre-evangelism opportunities. Let me share with you some that really are more where we're serving believers, especially maybe younger believers. Not always, but in particular. But opportunities. And some of these may be easier. You know, sometimes it's easier to work with someone who already is on the same page somewhat. Let me give you a few. First of all is just reading the Bible with a new believer. Generally speaking, unless it's a child who's been raised in the church and has now become a believer, you know, in his or her teen years or as a young adult, most new believers don't know much about the Bible. And you may think, well, I don't know much about the Bible. You know more than they do. All you need is to be one step ahead of the other person. That's it. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a scholar. Sitting down and reading the Bible and helping someone see the big picture, helping them understand things, just very simple. There is even a book, One-on-One Bible Reading, that can help you. David Helms is the author. Do we have copies of that? We have copies of that. If you're interested in that, it will give you step-by-step directions on how to do that. So One-on-One Bible Reading. Second, one-on-one discipling or mentoring. It may involve reading scripture, but more often than not, it will involve Bible study, time of prayer, maybe reading some good books, Christian books that are maybe not Bible studies, but Bible-oriented books. But meeting with someone else one-on-one, it can be someone who's a very new believer, or it can just be someone that maybe the two of you are like iron sharpening iron. You know, you're building each other up. Just the fact that you're meeting, that you have a specific time and a specific place where you may meet, gives some accountability to you. That you're going to be in the Word of God because you're going to meet with this other person who's in the Word of God, and you're supposed to share some things that you've learned. I'm just telling you, that's something we all ought to be doing. It is. One-on-one, discipling, mentoring, fellowshipping, whatever. But with Scripture as being the center of what we're doing, building one another up in the faith. Number three would be similar but involving more people, just a small group. Small group study. We've had all kinds of those. We've had some where it's systematic study through Scripture. Some have been reading Everyone reading the same book, the same good Christian book, and when they meet together, they discuss it. We've gone through books like On Baptist Beliefs and things like that. Those kind of small groups. It's anything, small group is anything more than two. Now, I realize two is a small group, but that's more one-on-one. But anything more than that, small group. And then fourth would be, again, similar but perhaps different, slightly different, purpose or orientation. And that would be small group to get togethers with other brothers or sisters for fellowship, prayer, encouragement, more informal type things. They don't necessarily involve study. Don't necessarily involve, you know, reading the Word of God or studying the Word of God or even reading a book. They're just times of getting together, building one another, encouraging one another. However, the goal should still be stirring one another up to love and good works, as Hebrews 10:24 says. You know, this is really why we encourage Sunday school fellowships. This is the kind of thing. It's not the only way it's done or could be done, but this is why we have them. Not just to get together and eat and play games or whatever groups do, but to enjoy Christian fellowship and to stir one another up to love and good works. The fifth and the last thing that I have is simply a question or a series of questions. What's your passion? What would you like to do? What would you like to see happen? Have you ever thought or said, you know, we should do such and somebody ought to do this. There's a group. Somebody ought to do that. We need a ministry to blank. Maybe that's you that the Lord is leading. We've had that happen. That's how we have prime timers. One example is we had some people, women, who had a vision for that. And that's how that got going. What's your vision? What are you passionate about? What do you see could be done that maybe isn't being done? Don't necessarily look to somebody else. Maybe the Lord's leading you to do that. The goal in all of these and many other things is making disciples. Introducing people to Christ, expanding the body of Christ, or building up, deepening the body of Christ. I believe that every Christian should be involved in some shape, form, or fashion in something where this is happening. And really, in one sense, it does boil down to what I said last Sunday morning. I believe if you love Jesus and you want other people to love Him, to know Him, you know, you'll find a way. These are just ideas, possibilities on which you can build. And if you don't like any of these, that's fine. Come up with your own. Just don't do nothing. Now, not tonight, but some other time in the near future, I want to address how we as a church can do a better job of helping you be more involved in disciple making. I have some thoughts on that subject that are somewhat unconventional, at least based on our tradition. I'll just give you a little tease. It's really more about, it's not so much about what we need to start as maybe what we need to stop. Whoa, what does that mean? Well, maybe in the future I'll have an opportunity to share that. That's the subject for another time.